Si va va. All right, Massa family, to come over here. Come this way. Everybody get in the center up here. And we are going to dedicate my new son, Ram Levi Juan Page. So we're pretty excited. The judge said he was ours on Monday, and so he is part of our family. So we are very excited about that. One of the things we do as a church is when we dedicate babies, we give every family a jar full of rocks. And you think, well, that's kind of a weird gift to give a family. It's a heavy gift, that's for sure. But here's what our goal in doing it is as a pastor, I think about every week. I think about the 52 weeks a year we have to impact people. And in that jar, there's 881 rocks. So there's 881 rocks until Levi is 18 years old, hopefully a little less squirmy by that time, and out of the door. And so as we go with each week and as we pray about, you know, what we're doing every week, there's one less time we have with him, one less week we have. And as those rocks kind of empty from the jar, we have to make sure as parents we're putting something back in. We're building them up spiritually. We're giving them the skills that they need to go forward to do what God has called them to do. I've asked Pastor Chris to come up and pray over us because it's kind of weird to pray over your own kid, even though we do it. We just, you know, want somebody else to bless and to be a part of it. So as Chris is getting the microphone, I'm going to ask the family to all come around and kind of just put your hands on Levi.
Let's pray together as a church, okay? Lord, as we come before you today to dedicate Ram Levi Juan Page to you, Lord, we know that as we talk about the spirit of adoption, that, Lord, you have seen all his days from the foundation of the world. And Lord, we know that you have great and awesome plans for him. Lord, from our perspective, Lord, the future is in front of us. And so, Lord, we pray first of all that you would be with this child. Lord, he is in a good place. We know that. Thank you for the journey that you've taken him on already in his life and to where you've brought him. Lord, a place of adoption into an awesome, Christian, godly family. And Lord, we trust in the days to come that he will turn his eyes to you. Lord, he will repent of his sins and trust in you, Jesus, as his Savior. Lord, we thank you that he will have godly parents to emulate. And Lord, for Russell and Crystal, Lord, I pray that you'll give them wisdom in the days to come. That, Lord, they would know the right way to turn this child, Lord. And I pray that as they make every decision, Lord, that they would seek your counsel. And so, Lord, we dedicate again this child to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
the other cool things you can do with these rocks is you can enlist people to pray for you. I've asked Pastor Chris if he'd keep this rock, keep it somewhere where he'll see it often, and just lift up prayers for Levi as we do that for his future and for what God's got planned for him. For our kids that are in here that are going to go to Kid Space, I want to encourage you to come up here up to fifth grade, and we're going to send you out those doors. The rest of you, if you have your Bibles, we'll open them up to the book of Ephesians. It's in the New Testament, and it was written by a man named Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to look at what Paul says about adoption today as we go forward. It's an exciting time. So if you got your smartphone, you can go ahead and scroll to it. If you got your Bible, open it up. If you brought neither, we love you anyway, and we'll have the verses up here on the screen. So we're excited about that. Here's what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to praise him in the glorious grace which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. And today we're going to look at what Paul's writing here. In the book of Ephesians starts off with a doxology. And some of you grew up in churches where they sang a doxology every week, you know, praise God from whom all blessing flows. And that was part of the experience there. What a doxology is just a small blessing, a small way of praising God. And that's how the apostle starts this. But as we talk about adoption today, I want us to take away really three things. Number one is adoption is an act of the Father. Here's what Paul says in his doxology. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Paul blesses the Father who has blessed us as in every spiritual way. Now, today's a day where we celebrate Father's Day. We look back on the great things our dads have done, the investments they put in our lives, the things we respect, the things we want to emulate. Some of us look back and say, man, you know, with little sadness and say, I wish I could talk to my dad today. He's no longer with us. You know, he's in heaven. We have these things. Some of us never knew our dad. And so we have those frustrations of saying, hey, I'm going to be better than my dad was. I'm going to be a better dad to my kid. I'm going to be around. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be the father that he wasn't. We all carry a ton of baggage when it comes to fathers. But as we look at this passage, it says that God, our heavenly Father, has blessed us with every blessing, every spiritual blessing that's available. Now, I think I'm a good dad. I try to be a good dad. I know I mess up as a dad, but I can't give my kid every blessing, right? I just am incapable of it. One, I'm finite, and I don't know everything he needs. I will miss some things that I should have done, and God, with his grace, will cover that. Two, my bank account's finite. I don't have the ability to buy him everything that he ever wants. I cannot physically bless my children with everything they need. But our Heavenly Father, it says, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Through Jesus Christ, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So, dads, here's the thing. If you want to bless your children as God the Father has blessed you, here's what you do. You give them Jesus. You give your kids Jesus, because if you give your kids Jesus, you will have given them every spiritual blessing that exists. The primary purpose for a dad here on this earth is to point his children toward Jesus. Blessed is the Father who has lavished his love upon us. He has given us Jesus Christ. For it's God who loves us. The Bible says God chose us here in this passage. Before the foundations of the earth, God had chosen you. How many of you ever played sports in elementary school? You remember doing that? You remember them picking teams? How many of you were chosen last? Do you want to just go ahead and, man, there's some real hurt that you want to go ahead and get out today. We love you. We bless you. Your worth is not based on when you were chosen. But I remember as a kid that being an incredibly anxious thing, right? I mean, like, they're all lined up. There's the two captains, and they start to pick. And they don't pick you first. They don't pick you second. And they pick a girl, and you're like, what just happened? And then, it's you and that other kid that, you know, please pick me before him, Lord. I know I'm a better athlete than that, right? And so we get picked. And oftentimes we look at this idea of our worth based upon how we were chosen. The beautiful message of the gospel is this. God, your heavenly Father, has chosen you. He didn't choose you last. He chose you before the foundation of the world. He chose you because he loves you. He chose you and created you. Before he said, let there be light, he had a plan for you to be part of his family, for you to be one of his children. God chose you because he loves you and has got an incredible plan for your life. That's something that we can be excited about today, that you have been chosen by God. You ought to celebrate that today, because as the Heavenly Father has chosen us, as he was knitting you together in your mother's womb, as he was picking out the color of your eyes and the color of your hair, as he was deciding which traits of your mom and which traits of your dad would merge together to make uniquely you, he said, I've chosen them to be part of my forever family before the foundation of the earth. And the amazing thing is that is the act of the Father, as God chooses us, he gives us more than a name, right? He gives us more than the name of Christian or the name of Christ follower or the name of a son or daughter of God. He changes our very nature. And some of you have experienced this as you've walked with Christ for a long time. You're like, the things that I used to enjoy, that I used to like, that I used to do, my nature has changed. I'm no longer like that. God has transformed me. It says this, that even as he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before them. How many of you would say, I've been holy this week? Let me see your hands. All right. How many of you would say, I've been blameless this week, didn't do a thing wrong? Let me see your hands. A couple of you raise your hands, all right? The ones that raise your hand, if you're saying that in Christ Jesus, you have really good theology. Because here's what the Bible says. He chose you to be holy. And you know what? If God chooses you to be holy in Christ Jesus, you're holy. He chooses you to be blameless. That means even though you messed up, Jesus has covered you. He looks at you and looks at you as blameless. So we walk as a different nature, transformed not of sin nature, but of God nature. We are holy and blameless. So I'm going to ask that question again. And if you are a Christian, if you are in Christ, raise your hand. How many of you are holy this week? All right? It's not arrogance. We don't say, well, I'm so good. You know, I didn't make any mistakes. How many of you are blameless this week? If it happened in Christ Jesus, that's you. That's an amazing transformation that God does in our lives. Even though we mess up and make mistakes, he still sees us as holy because we are in Christ Jesus, because he has put us in his family, because he has changed our nature. I love the tension in the Bible of the not yet, right? That he's working on putting us in a place. It's the now and the not yet. The Bible says we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Anybody feel seated in the heavenlies today, right? I mean, I'm sitting on a particle board pew in an old rundown Korean church. Like, I don't feel seated in the heavenlies, but the Bible says that currently we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. There's this weird tension of the now and not yet, and I don't understand it. I know that I did not act holy all week, but I know in Christ Jesus, I am holy. So it's an act of the Father to adopt us, just like Levi. He came into our home and we chose to adopt him. He had no say in the matter. 13, 14 years from now, he may have wished he had a say, right? I mean, man, you're the meanest parents in the world. You never let me do it. I wish somebody else had adopted me, right? I mean, that may be a legitimate thing that happens in his life, but the truth is he had no say in it. The truth is God chose us before we ever chose him. You know what the Bible says? The reason we love God is because he first loved us, because he first lavished his love upon us. So just like we chose Levi to be part of our family, God has chosen you to be a part of his family before the foundations of the world. So as we celebrate our dads today, that's exciting. We thank God for earthly dads. We thank God for the family he put us in. We thank God for what he's doing. We thank God for all that our fathers have contributed into our lives. As we look at them and say, I want to emulate that. I want to do better in this category. But we need to recognize the plan and the purpose of our Heavenly Father in all of that. You think, God, my dad wasn't that great. He wasn't around. God says, but I was there. I'm your father. I was watching out for you. I got you covered. The Bible gives praise to our Heavenly Father, and that's one of the reasons we gather on Sunday to do that. Another 2 point I want you to walk away from is this, that adoption is an act of love, right? Why did God adopt you? Why did God choose you? Why did God pick you? Why did God form you? The reason is this. Because he loves you. Look at how this starts. Now, it's into verse 4, the last two words of verse 4 going into verse 5, which is kind of weird. Actually, this whole first chapter in the Greek is one long sentence. Apparently, the Apostle Paul didn't know how to use punctuation marks. So if you're bad at grammar, you're in good company, okay? So he just wrote this really long sentence in the Greek. So as we translate it, we try to figure out how to break it up and how to make it make sense in English. But he wrote this, the end of verse 4, beginning of verse 5, in love. He predestined us for adoption. as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. In love. What a great way to describe everything God has done, is doing, and will continue to do. Everything God does is in love. Why? Because that's his nature. That's who God is. The Bible says this about God. God is love. What's the best way that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the writers of the Bible could sum up who God is? One word. Love. Every act, everything God does is in love. And he says that with which he's given us this gift and blessed us in the Beloved. In love, he's blessed us in the Beloved. Jesus Christ being the manifestation of God's love. God's presence, God's love made flesh and walked among us. So when we look at Jesus, we see that God is love. Everything he does, what do we see of Jesus? He's giving, he's sacrificing, he's healing, he's kind, he's serving. Those are attributes of love. God in love gave us his Beloved and made us part of his family through him. In love, we have the redemption of our lives. Now, when we baptize people at this church, we ask them a question. We say, have you been redeemed? And sometimes, especially when I'm talking to younger kids and we ask them that question, I go, well, first of all, when I baptize you, the answer is always yes. Okay, so no trick questions. We're going to have you out. We're going to just say yes. But here's what redeemed means. It means you were bought with a price. Somebody paid for you. And as we talk to people before we baptize, we make sure they know it wasn't me. Because if it was between your life and my life, chances are I'd pick mine. Maybe a weird circumstance where I'd go, yeah, you, but probably me. All right? I got a lot of kids. They count on me. They need me around. All right? So we do that. But Jesus, in love, in God, in love, gave his son that his blood would purchase our forgiveness, would purchase our lives, would set us free. That's what redemption is. Jesus sacrificed his life in our place so that we might have life. In love, God did that. In love, the Bible talks about the grace that he poured out by sacrificing. It uses the word lavishly. That he has lavished his grace upon us. I don't know when the last time anybody lavished anything on me was. I don't use that word very often to describe things that happen in my life. But when the Bible talks about God's love, God's loving act of adoption, he says this, he has lavished grace and love and mercy upon you. Why? Because you're great? Sorry. Because he's great. Because he is wonderful, because he is worthy of praise. It is not because of anything I did, but because of him. I cannot boast on anything, but it is because of God's love that we have got this. When I've talked to friends that have adopted kids, I've always, you know, kind of pulled them aside and asked a really tacky question. I haven't been known ever for my tact. So, you know, but I don't do it publicly, but I've pulled them aside and just been like, do you really love this adopted kid as much as your other kids? I mean, I feel bad asking, but, you know, I mean, I love my kids. Do you really love this one as much? And they always go, yeah, I do. And then I'm like, all right, dude, I know that's the right thing to say, and I know you're talking to a pastor, so you feel like you're supposed to say the right, but just level with me, honestly. Do you really? I go, yeah. I'm like, man, I don't get it. And then we adopt Levi. He's mine. He's my boy. He's not my adopted son. He's my son. I love him. I don't know how it works. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't at the hospital he was born. I wasn't part of his conception. I wasn't there for that. But he's my kid. He's my son. I love him like I love the others. Maybe more. I don't know. Don't tell them I said that. Right? None of them are in here. Okay. I don't know. Like, I just love this kid. It's an amazing thing that God does. And sometimes in the Christian life, we look at people and go, wow, God must really, really love them. Because they're so good, or they're so blessed, or this, or that. God must just really love them. And here's the message of the Bible. God loves you. He is crazy about you. He looks at you and doesn't go, oh, they're my adopted kid. He goes, that's my boy. I love him. That's my girl. That's my daughter. I'm so proud of her. That is the love that the Father has lavished upon us, that he loves us like we're one of his children. And all the names we can call God, when God sent his Son to help us understand him better, what did Jesus say we were to call him? Best way to relate to God is this, Father. Jesus went even farther when he prayed. He said, Abba. It's like saying daddy. It's intimate, it's sweet, it's love. And God looks at each and every one of us and says, I love you. And if one of my kids comes up to me and says, Dad, I have to tell you something. I broke the TV. I was messing around in the house and the ball slipped and I threw it through the TV. I would never go, well, I don't love you anymore. I might say, you're going to be mowing the lawn for the rest of your life. I mean, there may be a trade-off, right? But it's not like I don't love you anymore. Someday I'll have kids driving, and they will wreck the car because that's what kids who drive do. My mom's here. Some kids wreck it multiple times. It happens, all right? It's a learning process. Every time I wrecked the car, I didn't come home and go, ah, sorry, it happened again. My mom never said, well, I don't love you anymore. They explained to me insurance rates and some things with that, you know, and how those change. But it was never a lack of love. And sometimes through religion or through church or through people who have expressed it wrong standing in a position like this, we have the idea that God loves us based upon our behavior. And that's not the story. See, the Bible says God loved us before the foundation of the world. He knew what a screw-up I was going to be. And he loved me anyway. He knew every time you were going to make a mistake, and he loves you anyway. Whether it's a sin, whether it's a white lie, whether it's a misstep, whether it's just something dumb that you should have known better, your heavenly Father loves you because he has adopted you into his family as an act of love, and God is love. You cannot sin that away. You cannot mess up enough for God to send you away. When you are in his family, you are in his family forever. And maybe some of you just needed to hear that today. And I pray, Spirit, move their hearts to know that truth, that God loves you, not based upon your actions or your deeds, but because he is crazy about you. And he sent Jesus as the proof. He lavished his love upon us by giving us the most precious thing in the universe, his first, his best, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the message we get to bear, church, that God loves this world, that God loves terrorists, that God loves Republicans, that God loves Democrats, that God loves us no matter what color our skin is, no matter what socioeconomic class we're in, no matter where we work or don't work, that God loves us. And he has chosen us to be adopted into his family as an act of love. The last thing, and we'll finish up, is when we become part of God's family, adoption sets us on the Father's agenda. Why, God? Why me? Why'd you choose me? Why'd you pick me? Why? Why? I mean, I still have friends from high school, right? You're a pastor? Really? You know, like of a Christian church? You know, what happened? Why, Lord, why? Because to set us on God's agenda, he says this in the last verse, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things to him, things in heaven and things in earth. God has a plan for bringing us into his family. And his plan is this, to use you, to use me, to unite all things back to him. Say all things. All right, say it like you're excited about it. Say all things.
All things.
All right. I'm talking about your screwed up family members. I'm talking about the jerk that lives next door. I'm talking about the guy you work with that you want to throw a hammer at. I'm talking about those things. Say all things. God's plan is to unite all things. This picture of Levi's adoption, right, is God's plan was to unite this baby to our family. That wasn't our plan. 6 months ago, we didn't have adoption on our radar. And all of a sudden, this baby comes in. And they asked, do you want to adopt him? And I said, I don't know. We already have a lot of kids. And my wife's a baby hoarder. I don't know if you should open this door. She'll want more. And I don't know. And so we had to pray about it and look at it and say, Lord, what's the right thing for us to do? What do you want us to do? And then before you adopt, you get this book. And Levi was only in foster care for a year, so the book's only this big, right? Of everything that's gone on in his little life. What drugs his mom was on when she was giving birth to him. What drugs his dad did. And how many times they've both been in jail. Where his dad is currently incarcerated and for what. What family members said when the CPS asked them, do you want this baby? And they said, we're tired of taking care of their messes. As a dad, I read it and go, that's not a mess. That's my boy. It's not a mess. Health problems, brothers and sisters that are his that are out there being raised by other families, and contact numbers and grandparents that would like to be a part of his life somewhere. And I read it and go, I don't know what to do. I mean, if we open up this door to this, the rest of his family, we got drugs, we got alcohol, we got poverty, we got a sister being raised by a lesbian couple, we got all these things. Lord, what do we do? And then I read this verse. It says, God's plan is to unite all things to him. That God's plan is to use this little baby in our lives so that we can share the light with the rest of his family. And you go, Pastor, you know, wait, I'm a good Christian. I don't hang out with drug addicts. I don't hang out with alcoholics. I don't hang out with homosexuals. I don't hang out with those kind of people. I'm a good Christian. And my challenge to you is this. If you're a good Christian, a follower of Jesus, those are exactly the people you'll hang out with. Because that's who Jesus hung out with. Jesus was accused of being an adulterer. He was accused of being a drunkard. He was accused of everything. He was without sin. But they said, man, look who you hang out with, Jesus. You hang out with prostitutes and tax collectors. The worst of the worst. If you were really a prophet, if you were really a man of God, you would know what they had done and you would stay away from them. And Jesus' response is this. The sick need a doctor. That's what I am. A hospital that doesn't allow sick people to come to it is a terrible hospital. A Christian who does not hang out with people that are far from God is a terrible Christian. Because God's plan is to pull you into his family so that he can unite all things. Your screwed up uncle, your messed up neighbor, your pain-in-the-butt coworker, your ex-wife, your ex-husband, your ex-in-laws. God has brought you into the family to unite all things to him. He's got a plan. I don't pretend to know what it is. There's not a Bible verse on so many of our life issues, right? Do you open the door to weird family members that aren't really your family members but are now because of adoption but aren't legally because he's... Like, there's not a verse that you can go to and flip to that. There's just the heart of a father for lost children. So you say, God, use me to unite all things to you. Would you bow your head and close your eyes and we'll finish up. As we talk about this spirit of adoption, currently right now in the state of Texas, there are 10,000 children in foster care looking for a forever home. There are 10,000 children who want to be chosen. 10,000 children who God cares about and his heart breaks for them. And over again in Scripture, we see that loving orphans is the heart of God. And church, my prayer for us, for Kaleo Community Church, is that Levi is the first of many children that are adopted in our church. Because we want to reconcile all things to God. As the music's playing softly and your eyes are closed, I just want to ask you to consider something. Because the truth is, adoption's not for everyone. But it's for more of you than you think. So with nobody looking around, I just want to ask if there's any here that would say, Pastor, I would consider adopting. I don't know what God's telling me to do, but I would just consider it. Would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Say, in this place, I'd be willing to consider it. I see your hands going up. Thank you. I see your hand in the back. Thank you, sir. I'd be willing to consider God's will. Thank you. Father, for those that raise their hands, God, I pray you give them wisdom. I don't know what your will is for their lives. I don't know what your will is to unite them with thousands of kids in Texas or foreign adoptions. I don't know. But God, I pray for them because they said, I'm willing to consider. Father, give them wisdom. Give them direction. Lord, maybe you'll close a door and they can just be a support structure. Or maybe you'll throw open a door and they'll need to adopt a family sibling set of six kids. I don't know what your plan is, God. But thank you for those who are willing to consider this incredible representation of the gospel as you adopt us into your family. We get to bring others into ours. Every eye closed and every head bowed, there's one more here that I want to address. The idea of this, that God wants you into his family. He has chosen you to be part of his family before the beginning of time. But unlike Levi, you have a choice. You have to choose if you want to be part of God's family because he's not going to force you. He's not going to make you. He's not going to strong arm you into it. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You become part of God's family by saying, I trust Jesus is who the Bible says he is, and I will try with the help of God to follow him. If there's anyone here today that would say, for the first time, I want to make sure I'm in God's family, would you just raise your hand and let me see you? They would say, hey, right here, I want to accept Jesus into my heart. I want to follow him. I want to know for certain I'm in God's family. Would you raise your hand high so I can see? Father God, we are a people who are grateful for what you have done. God, help us to love those children that are not part of this family yet, not part of your eternal forever family yet. Help us to love them as you loved us. God, thank you for putting people in our lives that would share the gospel, whether it be a father that pointed us toward Jesus, or a mom that took us to church, or a grandparent that was faithful to show up every Sunday and pick us up and take us. Lord, some of us wandered in by accident, but God, it was no accident. From the beginning and the foundations of the earth, you had a plan to make us part of your family. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for choosing us. Lord, we want to be about your agenda. Whatever it is, use us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.